This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, 1-0 to the Arsenal as they win away their first Premier League game of the season against Aston Villa. Lionel Messi calls time in his international career at the age of 39 and having played in three World Cup finals. And on transfer deadline day, we'll bring you some of the major moves that could happen today. But first, Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta praised the strength of depth in his squad after a tight Premier League win at Aston Villa. Bukayo Saka scored as the defending champions ground out a 1-0 victory. Arteta says it was a strong performance at what he considers a sturdy Villa side.
Quality squads, these quality coaches that they know how to make life really tough for you. You really have to be at it. And I think consistently throughout the game and individually, I think we did that really well.
Arsenal looks set for a busy final day of the window, with Gabriel Martinelli expected to complete his move to Al Hilal for a club record €65 million fee. And Gabriel Jesus is on his way to Barcelona, with Fabio Vieira also departing for Hamburg on a permanent deal, and Ethan Nwaneri poised for a season-long loan at Borussia Dortmund. The Premier League champions are looking to add another attacker before the deadline, but while Julian Alvarez is still not so keen on a move to North London, Mikel Arteta's side have been offered Lyon's Malik Fofana and are understood to be exploring other options.
We knew that with Willie out, we had an injury in the back line. With Julian out, we're in big trouble, so we had to do Ezri. And today, Mosquera, he could not continue. So we know that the depth has to be really big when you are fighting for four competitions in the manner that we play as well. So we're going to try to do that.
Meanwhile, Villa boss Unai Emery doesn't think they'll be doing much business on the final day of the transfer window. Striker Nicholas Jackson made his debut in the defeat at home to Champions Arsenal.
Last year we were, until the deadline, we were focusing because we needed to do something. But this year I think everything we were preparing for the changes we did, I think we are replacing the play like we planned.
While Taylor Howard-Bellis and Ibrahim Mbai watch from the stands ahead of completing their signings, Argentina captain Lionel Messi has confirmed his retirement from international football. The 39-year-old's last appearance for Argentina was the World Cup final defeat by Spain. It was Messi's sixth appearance at a World Cup, and one in which he became only the second player after Brazil's Cafu to appear in three men's World Cup finals, having won the previous edition in 2022 and being a runner-up to Germany in 2014. Writing on Instagram on Monday, Messi said the decision hurts deep in my soul, but added that he realises the time has come. Earlier this month, the Inter Miami star spoke of his doubts over continuing his playing career for much longer following the death of his father Jorge, who died aged 68 last month. Argentina's next major tournament will be the Copa America in 2028, when Messi will be aged 41. The next World Cup, which will have one match in Argentina, as well as one match in Paraguay and Uruguay, before being primarily hosted in Spain, Portugal and Morocco, would see Messi turn 43 midway through. Messi is widely recognised as one of the best players of all time, and his country's all-time record appearance holder with 207 caps and goal scorer, netting 125 goals. And on the football show last night, Argentine writer Marcela Mora Iarajo joined Owen Sheehan and wondered what could come next.
Do you think the ownership aspect of what he's already done, does that give us the greatest clue that maybe he looks at his buddy David Beckham and thinks, God, what you've done in the world of football in terms of being that sort of very famous figure without ever being a coach or a manager and having to go through the day-to-day stresses of that, somebody involved in at C-suite level with football while also being, you know, an ambassador for the game in a very global sense, is that the sort of path that you think he might be keen to explore?
I would not be surprised if it was something like that. Yes, that to me that fits the profile perfectly. You know, there's a lot of very talented footballers who did not want to go down the management slog. You know, Gary Lineker springs to mind as someone who was very clear he didn't want to go back to the training ground every day in the rain, but did something completely different, but still, you know, remained a huge figure in the industry. I don't see Messi being like a Gary Lineker or even a Maradona figure, you know, that maybe manages, maybe hosts a chat show, maybe dances, maybe does something else, but is always there somehow doing something. I think the investments in football clubs is really interesting and can't be denied. You know, he's doing it. I mean, when his father, before his father died, but his father was very ill when Messi went back to Argentina after the World Cup, the one public outing he did was to watch his, you know, a club that he has vested interest in, which is a lower league club local to where he grew up. And that was a huge media sensation, you know, where he sat, how he held the mate, how he watched, what colour, you know, puffer he had on. So he knows he's not leaving the limelight. So to me, the statement today, the announcement today, is very clearly about the role that he has gracefully stepped into and delivered for 20 years. But he's now saying, look, I can't be Messi, you know, the striker Messi, the sort of the athlete, the Adonis of the pitch.
And that is available for you to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join to never miss a single second of our football coverage. Liverpool could yet do some business on the final day. They've rejected an offer from Nottingham Forest for midfielder Trey Nyoni, whilst Harvey Elliott looks set to join Valencia. One deal that has been done is the signing of French winger Bradley Barcola. And on the football show last night, Philippe Auclair joined Owen and questioned the price tag.
You see a Bradley Barcola joining Liverpool. He's a very fine player, nobody doubts it. He's a very, very good player indeed. Is he worth something like 140 million euros? Of course not, he is not. He's not worth that kind of money. Because if he's worth that amount of money, what is Kvaratskhelia's worth? What is Dembele's worth? What is Kylian Mbappe's worth? I mean, everything, everywhere you look, it's as if the many clubs in the Premier League have decided to spend as if there were no tomorrow, and literally as if there were no tomorrow, and have been prepared to spend a lot of, I mean, far, far more money than what you would expect from the going rate on the transfer market for other leagues. There's a premium, a Premier League premium, which I've never seen the like of, and it could carry on like that for forever. Look at almost every single transfer which has happened. And also, some very weird things happening. What's happening with Ondrej Sahanov at the moment? He's been loaned out to Crystal Palace, but at the same time has got a verbal agreement to sign with Chelsea next season. I'm sorry. Is that correct? Is that normal? When you see what's happened between the kind of exchange between Van Hekker and Vuskovic, between Tottenham and Brighton, and you see two players who have barely made any mark on Premier League football so far, and who are changing clubs for sums between 52 and 60 million euros, two central defenders, and you think one is going one way, the other is going the other, and you think, well, I'm sorry, guys, all of this is about putting value, assets value on your books. It's not about the real value of the player.
Tottenham Hotspur have agreed a deal to sign Tosin Adebayo from Chelsea on a permanent basis. Personal terms have been agreed with the defender and he's been granted permission to undergo medical. The centre-back will be Tottenham's ninth signing of the summer, with Spurs also making an inquiry for Tosin's Chelsea teammate Mykhailo Mudryk. A loan deal has been agreed for the Ukrainian, but terms still need to be finalised with the forward. A deal would represent the first time since 2009 that a first-team player has moved directly in a transfer between the two clubs. Tottenham's move for Tosin comes after centre-back Kevin Danso expressed a desire to find a move away, according to head coach Roberto De Zerbi, with Richarlison and Pat Matsar also asking to leave. Tottenham winger Mikey Moore has joined Bundesliga side Cologne on a season-long loan deal. The 19-year-old academy graduate made his Premier League debut against Manchester City at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in May 2024. Mark Yu has joined RB Leipzig. The striker was signed by Chelsea from Barcelona 2 years ago, but has not had much of a look in, but scored a hat-trick against Shamrock Rovers in the Europa Conference League 2 years ago. And Xabi Alonso side aren't done yet. Reports in Italy say that Roma's French midfielder Manu Kone is being considered to head to Stamford Bridge. Also, Lamine Kamara from Monaco is also another option. Sunderland are close to completing a deal with Tottenham for central defender Danso. Providing there are no unforeseen hitches, Danso will join an initial one-year loan before making the move permanent in a £25 million transfer next summer. Kevin Kilbane joined on the football show on Monday evening and questioned De Zerbi's comments on mentality at the weekend.
Yeah, I listened to those comments at the weekend, Owen, and I remember even at the time, by what he's saying there, you can't buy the mentality and they're coming into an environment, but that isn't that what the job of the recruitment team is, to buy the right mentality, do the research on the player that you're bringing in, that you're coming in, they know they're coming into a losing environment, as it was last season, that the players weren't able to get over the line so often when they conceded. It was a real negative feel around the stadium. I was just talking about that before. It seemed to me by his comments there that he's questioning the whole recruitment team with the mentality of the players that he's bringing in. That's the way I would read that. And yes, I think we all know that you can't just go out automatically and say, look, just pick a player because they're very good, that they're going to come in and mentally be strong to be able to deal with the pressures of playing for Tottenham and what's gone on before them. But that's his job. That's his job, to create that mentality. Surely he's had some form of say in the players that have come into the team. Into the squad there. They've spent a lot of money, as you were saying about before, Owen, that you're expecting the quality of the player that they've got to be able to deal with the harsh reality of being a footballer. Being a footballer at most levels of the game, 99% of the time, you're going to have to deal with negativity. You're going to have to deal with a negative atmosphere around the club. And how do you get through that? The way you get through it is by winning games. That's on the coach then, of the way I would see it. So it's up to the coach to change the results, to get the winning mentality. Once that winning mentality starts to come in, then everything will change. You only need to go back to Spurs itself and remember Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale, on that run of games that he had when he first signed, was it 20, 25 games without a win or something like that when he first went to Tottenham? And many were questioning him as a player, certainly his ability, and of course his mentality. That's what people were questioning. So you don't have to go back too far to look to see, well, players have come through it, and there was no one better than Gareth Bale at coming through that. So, look, we know the state of Tottenham. We know that it is a bit negative when they do concede. But again, it's down to De Zerbi to sort that. He didn't have a great time at Marseille, don't forget. He didn't get the best out of the group of players that he had there at Marseille. So he's coming off the back of current form as a manager, of not getting the best out of personnel. So maybe he needs to look at himself a little bit as well there.
Meanwhile, Sunderland are highly resistant to offers from Como for the Netherlands striker Brian Brobbey, but seem set to loan winger Simon Adingra to Ajax ahead of a permanent move next summer. Everton look set to sign fullback Kenny Tete from Fulham, whilst Nathan Patterson is heading for the exit door to head to Torino. At the time of recording, there's been no report of movement on Jake O'Brien, as speculation continues on his Toffee future. Meanwhile, Jack Grealish is set to join David Moyes' side on a season-long loan from Manchester City, just like he did last season, whilst Illiman Ndiaye is set to head in the opposite direction for a deal around £65 million. And midfielder Tim Iribunim is set to complete his move to Hull for an initial £12 million. And from an Irish perspective, Chidozie Ogbene looks set to leave Ipswich for Lincoln City. And to finish off today's Football Daily, it's 25 years ago to the day since this.
Had the confidence to do it, but 30,000 hearts were in mouths at that point. Now Roy Keane, you can always depend on him. Duff in close attendance, Keane is fouled, Duff helping it on towards Finnan. Finnan facing Cocu. And a little cross in there, and it's come through here, McAteer! Amsterdam revisited! This afternoon, now there is ecstasy. Jason McAteer, Mick McCarthy's big gamble, gets the goal. Ireland hit the front. Holland have to score twice.
Well, I mean, the Dutch really got caught out when the ball came in. It looked as if the attack was going nowhere when Finnan was held up right side. Does well to get anything in. There's Melchior. He's drawn right in on the centre-backs. I don't think McAteer can believe his luck. And I was willing him just to keep it down, keep composure, because it bounced in front of him. Boy, did he do that. Fantastic finish.
He did it in Amsterdam to put Ireland 2-0 up that night. And you know, he hasn't scored since. Well, he's done it here, and that remarkable Irish sequence continues. 15 consecutive matches.
And that is all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.